Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. I've been interviewing and highlighting the journey of amazing women, from neuroscientists to movie executives, who share their adventures and give great advice along the way. Today's show is a little bit different. I've asked a past guest, Nicole Rodriguez, to join me as my guest co-host. This is episode number 2 of our 3-part guest co-host series. As you may recall, Nicole's the founder and CEO of NRPR Group in Beverly Hills. She's an entrepreneur and very tech-savvy entertainment publicist. Her extensive knowledge in bridging the gap between the technology and entertainment industries has allowed her to work with clients including Sony Pictures Entertainment, Dolby, Yahoo, Sony PlayStation, Hulu, and MGo. Now, on the last show, Nicole and I discussed women-owned businesses, the challenges, successes, and best daily practices, sharing our advice about some of the most frequently asked questions. So today, we're using the same Q&A format, answering questions about women and executive presence, or EP. So without any further delay, Nicole, it's so great to have you back on the show.
Aw, thanks, Deidre. I always love joining you on your shows. You have the best energy, and I always enjoy myself, and we always get lost in really, really amazing conversations, so I'm looking forward to it.
I know, and I'm so excited about this conversation and just want to jump into such a hot topic that I wanted to chat with you about. I bet you've been watching Carly Fiorina and Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential race.
Absolutely, I have. And, I don't know if you caught it yesterday, but Carly was on the Tonight Show. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was great. Yeah, she was. And it was very insightful. But, you know, it raises a great question. You know, how is Carly and or Hillary showing executive presence on stage, on camera? So what would your answer be, Deidre?
Okay, so confidence. That's what they're doing. It's confidence with a capital C. Let's talk about Carly first. She was very well prepared with her responses. She spoke with great certainty and authority. And at the same time, she always commanded this presence, yet was able to break up a little bit of that strong presence with that emotional appeal that she raised when she was discussing the Planned Parenthood funding issue. Now, if you look at Hillary, she also has gravitas, and that's the appearance of having confidence, and let's face it, you know, this is the key to winning other people's confidence. Gravitas also involves the ability to kind of have that grace under fire. And if you look at Hillary last presidential election versus this presidential election, I would say that some of her answers to reporters might be a little bit more aggressive. But also the whole executive presence is based on your communication, and which is vitally important, but how you connect with the audience, with the people. So I would say that both of these women have EP, but Hillary's going to need to work a little bit more on her emotional connection, and I think Carly will also have to do the same. So that's my thought.
No, I agree. I think the one thing both of them, I think confidence, especially both of them are very, very confident. But the nice thing is that they're well prepared. They come to the table with substance. They aren't just answering questions with little frilly things that they know people aren't going to care about. You know, it brings up my favorite part of the debate when all of the candidates were asked, who would you put? Would you put a female on the $10 bill? And Carly was like, what? Like, what are you bothering me with these questions for? Like, really, us women don't need an accolade like that. We don't need recognition to feel like we're validated, that now that we're on a bill, we're somebody or something. And, you know, she came just informed. Just women, especially us in business, you know, there are many of us who really just want to do a good job at what we do. And they both, I think, represent that very well. We're not here to prove anything. We're just human. We're here to do a job. And whether I'm a female or a male, I'm going to come prepared. I'm going to show up. I'm going to have done my homework. And I'm going to answer questions with substance, because that's what leaders do. Not just men or women.
Yes,
that's what leaders do.
Absolutely. And they both did, and there is nothing to prove. Absolutely right. So on to the next question. Do you think it's important to maintain your female presence in business? So in other words, should you balance strength with your emotional IQ? What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I think the most important piece of that is it's important to maintain yourself in business, to be yourself, to be authentic, but at the same time, to know that, you know, keeping your emotions in check is, one, how you're going to be a leader, command your audience and all of those people who are looking to you for answers. You know, so if you're coming across as answering things too quickly, off the cuff, coming from straight emotion, then you need to, you know, check yourself a little bit as a leader, get a little bit better, you know, with that, because, you know, leaders have to be able to do well under fire and under pressure. But being yourself and being authentic, it really helps people just connect with who you are. It builds trust. So I think, more importantly, not just maintaining your female presence, If that's who you are, if you have a really great, you know, I would say I can be strong and I can be soft, you know. So I definitely maintain, you know, my female presence by how I wear my hair, my makeup, my shoes. I like being a girl. But at the same time, when I walk into a room, I'm not, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, my gosh, what's going on? You know, what most guys sometimes, girls do. But, you know, so you come to the table as a well-prepared professional. So I'm not sure if that answers the question, but
absolutely.
What do you think?
I think you keyed into some really important points, being authentic, the trust, and, you know, if you're off the cuff, too much emotion, you have to balance it out. I just think that you have to be strong in the boardroom, but that also means never losing your passion. And that is emotion. Whether you're male or female, you're always going to have a balancing act. And if you're working with people, you have to show your human side. Otherwise, we'd all be a bunch of analytical, methodical robots that nobody would want to follow anyway, if those
right,
were the leaders.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my take on that one.
I agree. You know, it reminds me of the movie, it was something Office Space, was it? When he's like, yeah, you're going to have to come in on Saturday. Like, no emotion, no nothing, just that.
Right. can you imagine if you were that way with your employees at your agency?
How boring every day would be, right? Those of you at NRPR group, they know that's the exact opposite. of what they get on a regular basis. But, you know, your answer leads to another, a really great, frequently asked question in the minds of so many people. But what are the most important qualities of a leader today?
Well, there certainly are many, but I truly believe a leader has to inspire others to succeed. So it's not about what you're going to do or what you want to achieve, but how you're going to empower the people and together how you're going to get there. And a leader always has to be honest and show transparency. So you said trust before. The big trust factor is key. And also somebody who, as we mentioned, the confident, but also confident through their communication and able to paint a really clear vision for people so everyone understands and can all be on the same page. Because what I find is that, you know, I've met incredible visionaries, but if you communicate in a confusing way and people don't really understand your vision, then it's not going to come to life or it's never going to reach its full potential.
Oh,
so what would
God,
you say?
I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. You know, working with so many CEOs, and you know, in our communications field, we work with so many great leaders and visionaries, you know, leaders in the title sense, because they've come up with a brilliant idea for a great company. But on the communication and motivation side of things, actually leading the charge and leading a company, man, have I met some that just don't get it. You know, and it's very tough, you know, especially because if you're working with them on the communications part of their business and they don't know how to communicate effectively either to you, to their team members, to the media, you're in a tough spot. So I agree. I definitely agree with you. And I think leaders need to be effective communicators. I also think leaders have to lead by example. If you want to motivate your point, if you are the type of leader who's coming in, you know, talking to everybody, but not getting work done, delegating, but not taking on, but you know, that task, I think leaders of the past may have been able to get away with it, but in this day and age, people want to get behind people that inspire them. They don't want to just feel like they are, I don't know, doing grunt work for someone else who's undeserving and doesn't recognize them. So you need to lead by example. You know, I just had a great chat with my team yesterday about how I was so busy last week, I was behind on emails. So what did I do? I spent the weekend, while I was even at a conference, cleaning up my emails from the week before, making sure I hit each and every one, deleted them, filed them, something. If I want them to do that to stay organized, who has to be the most organized? Me. And that inspired everyone, and they've all decided, you know, this week they're going to dedicate cleaning and organizing their inboxes. But I know that that's what's going to help our team succeed, so I lead by example.
And I think employees truly appreciate that. After all, if they're going to be able to say, well, our leader doesn't do that, then why should we? You're setting the clear example. I'm talking with my guest co-host, Nicole Rodriguez, founder and CEO of NRPR Group and a tech-savvy entertainment publicist. In the next segment, Nicole and I will be sharing the answers to more frequently asked questions about women having executive presence.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Nicole Rodriguez and myself were just chatting about women leaders, whether you're a presidential candidate or those in the corporate boardroom. So, Nicole, just going back a little bit to what we were talking about, leadership traits, you know, what are the best qualities, because we talk so much about, you know, wanting to be leaders and the skills that you need. What does it mean to be, you know, to be a good leader, and where can you go to get some of those helpful resources? So women who really want to push the envelope and work on their own executive presence.
You know, that's a great question. I mean, other than listening to your show, I mean, come on.
Thank you.
You know, to be honest, I'm a big reader. So whether that's magazines to stay up on trends and tips and things that are coming from other leaders or even employees who are sharing their thoughts on, you know, good or bad bosses that they've had. I do a lot of reading and research for personal development. You know, Entrepreneur Magazine is probably one of my favorite magazines to just read at leisure, because I feel like as I'm reading it, I'm learning so much and I'm hearing real feedback, you know, and the way they break things down is great. I think, you know, just figuring out what are your 3 to 4 resources, whether that's a radio show like yours, a magazine, picking up some, you know, self-help books, as silly as that might sound, the better you are at working on your interpersonal skills, I think the better you're going to be as a leader. So I think really having a great personal toolbox for yourself to keep yourself organized, in check, learning, you know, to communicate effectively with others. Never stop working on yourself to be a better person, and that will translate into being a better leader, I think.
I love that, the personal toolbox. That's mm-hmm. so important for every leader to have and to constantly update too. Because what you said about the different resources, the 3 or 4, you know, maybe over time you're going to be growing and develop new skills and need new resources to really bring out what you're doing. So I think that personal toolbox is excellent, excellent advice. And I would also say, so you pointed out podcasts, thank you. What about TED Talks? So are you diving into TED Talks at all? Because I think that there are so many women leaders giving great TED Talks, and it's a way to sort of gain from somebody else's experience, their process, you know, the story of how they made it to the top, but also learning, watching their speaking styles too, and seeing how they command a presence when they come on stage and keep attention. So I found that really helpful too.
Oh, I think that's great. I've seen a handful of really great TED Talks myself. I think, you know, growing up, I had to read so much. You know, we didn't get to watch a lot of TV. I used to not like my parents for it, but now I understand why.
now you appreciate it.
Yeah, now I appreciate it. But so I find myself gravitating towards things that make me read in order to understand. But yes. TED Talks, watching them, catching up on them with YouTube or just from the sites, all that stuff. I agree with you. Great, great, great resource. So, you know, we talked about some resources. You take that in, and, you know, something that I've experienced, so I would love your opinion on. As a female or as a woman, how important is looks versus substance?
Ooh, that's a good one. So, okay, I think what I want to do first is define looks the way that I think about looks, quote unquote, in business. Not so much talking about beauty, but more about your appearance. You need to look the part. You have to dress well, style your hair, wear the right amount of makeup. There's actually a study that was done that, you know, said that people who wear too little makeup aren't trusted. If you wear too much makeup, then you're not going to be trusted. And there's an amount of time that you need to, it's like 45 minutes to an hour to put on your makeup so that you can be trustworthy. So I think that that's really interesting. So looking the part is all about your appearance and coming well-groomed and really being able to present yourself so then you can deliver the substance. So that's the second half of it, because the substance is just as important. You can't say you're just going to do something. You know, you have to have the experience behind you. You need a proven track record, a plan of action, you know, an approach that will make people feel comfortable and want to stand behind you. So it's much more than just all talk. I really think it's action. So balancing those two, I think, are really important. If you don't have the appearance, you're not going to get to the substance, and probably vice versa.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Oh my gosh, I'm 100% with you. You know, working in communications and working in an agency, I distinctly remember a time when I was finally, you know, invited to new business pitches, right? I'm the supervisor at Voce Communications and, you know, been in the profession for a couple of years. And here we are now, you know, the big execs are pitching the new business and they ask, all right, Nicole, we want to make sure that you're there. And then you're thinking, okay, well, I have to dress nice. I have to do my hair. Got to do the makeup. Got to come prepared. And I remember that there were two similar level, you know, women that I was working with who the hair wasn't done and the clothes, like one of them came with wrinkled clothes. I almost fell to the ground. I was like, if we are trying to, and it's a big company we're going in to pitch, you know, I won't say the name of the company, you know, just in case anyone remembers that pitch, but I remember thinking, how, as a woman, did you not wake up an extra hour early to make sure that your hair looked better than it has all week, that the makeup is done, and that the clothes are ironed? You have to show up prepared. Because if your personal appearance doesn't come across as if you put time, then in that pitch, people might not think that you put the time into actually putting that plan together. So to me, once I started leading new business pitches, it was mandatory. Everyone, we're coming color coordinated. As a group, we're coming in like we mesh. We don't need to all wear just black, but we need to agree that maybe there are two or three or four colors at most that we're trying to hit. You know, we wear a little bit of black, some white, throw in red or blue, and that's it. You come to the table with some makeup, the hair better look great. We want people to know that we are on point because what we have to say is very important. And if they don't think that we are coming across looking the part, they're not going to listen to what we have to say. So exactly to your point, you can't get to the substance and be trusted if you're not putting in the time to make sure that your appearance is on point.
Exactly. And I would say the same thing to when I counsel executives, male, female, same thing with men. You have to, if you're, you know, even for the media training, you're going on television, your shirt has to be ironed, you're wearing a suit, you're make sure your hair is done the way that they would do it, but not sticking out. You know, everything, you're coming prepared. It says something about you, male or female, and there is that instant impression. So I think we're both on the same page with that question. So kind of let's continue along this track. And I'm going to ask you a tough question. So if we go along the topic of looks versus substance, this reminds me of the comment that Donald Trump made about Carly when he said during the presidential debates on September 16th, he said, "I think she's a beautiful woman." Now, Nicole, if you were in that situation in a boardroom, how would you have responded or what would you have done?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've actually, not in a boardroom situation, but I recently had someone who openly said, "Hey, well, I reached out to you because I need a publicist and I saw your picture and thought you're really hot." Clearly, he's not my client. Okay,
so clearly,
you know, yeah. So my thing is, I will take compliments well. You know, I think it's graceful when a woman can do that. Actually, male or female, you can take a compliment. Great, thank you for recognizing me for that. But what I always come back, I'm not just a pretty face. There's a lot of brains up here. So it comes with the full package, and I've used that line. You know, "Oh, wow, Nicole, blah, blah, blah." Well, don't worry, I'm not just a pretty face. There's a lot more where that came from. You know, so I think taking it gracefully, thanking someone for the compliment, but really helping them understand that, you know, just because my mom and dad hooked it up, you know, doesn't mean that I had to be lazy in the school department. If anything, you know, it was more of a motivator to prove that it's not just, you know, the looks thing. It also takes me back to, you know, being a professional cheerleader. Just because you're a cheerleader and people are recognizing you for face, you know, athleticism, you know, body, all of that other stuff that has nothing to do with what is going on in my head, which is a lot of good stuff when it comes to strategy, work, and what I do. So I always made it a point to be as smart as I could so that people would take me seriously because, you know, it's important to me.
Well, I think that I'm so on your page with that answer, just a time and a place and to be graceful about accepting the compliment, male or female. So I'm just going to say you get two thumbs up on that one.
Thank you. Awesome, awesome. Well, so that you know, sort of leads me to a question. If you could spend a day with one woman leader or visionary, past, present, who would it be?
Okay, so I have kind of two answers, even though you're only asking for one. But from a business standpoint, I'd love to tag along with a high-powered female CEO, either Marissa Mayer from Yahoo, Mary Barra, General Motors, only because as a CEO at one point of a company that had 40 employees, it was really challenging. So I'd just like to experience the day in the life of a CEO who runs a major corporation. And then, actually, I have more to my answer. On the humanitarian side, I would really like to spend time, or I wish I could have spent time, with somebody like Mother Teresa. Because if you think about her and, you know, how she dedicated her life to the people of India and really was that, I don't know, she served as an image of kindness and hope. I think I could learn so much. And that is something that really would be, you know, so beneficial. And I would have loved to have spent a day with her, as challenging as that might have been.
Yeah, you literally took the words out of my mouth. I think, Mother Teresa, there are a lot of quotes that I sort of pull from her that I are just words to live by, you know.
Right.
And I really think that has become part of my essence as a leader, where, you know, people followed her not because she was a tyrant and because she was loud, but because she led from her heart. People believed in her, they trusted her. And, you know, to show that you can be just as good a leader by being human than, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but like Hitler was a powerful leader. People did follow him. They listened
right.
to him, but you don't have to do that. You know, it's in order to have people follow you. You can do it through genuine, just personal strength and kindness. And I think Mother Teresa, you know, maybe all three of us could have had lunch together. That would have been awesome and spent the day. And I think someone who's a leader right now, I would say Michelle Obama. I mean, she is all eyes on her. Yes, Barack Obama is, you know, our current president, and he's, you know, I personally think he's a good man. She has done amazing things in her time as the first lady. And I think she's extremely intelligent. She does well under fire. And to have the pressure of literally the whole world looking at you, how you go about your day, prioritize, speak to people, organize your calendar, and figure out how you're also going to throw in a little bit of fun. You know, I've seen her with a lot of kids doing charity things. I would love to shadow her for one day to see how all of that comes across, because she's one of my favorite leaders.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to shadow her for half a day.
Yeah,
even just an hour. That is one more. That okay, I'm going to add that to my list too. If that was a wish list, that's so great. You know, Nicole, thank you so much for being an excellent guest co-host and for sharing your thoughts, experiences. You always give excellent advice about women and this executive presence. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. You know, every time you, anytime you need me to come and join you, Deidre, it's a party. I love it.
Well, thank you. We'll be partying more then. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.